Those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening, Northern California. If I had a picture of your face when that song started, that would have been amazing.
Love that song. I'm a total Bee Gees fan.
Yep. Good evening, Northern California.
I even got
California.
The cross. Yeah.
You started
mood.
Dancing and everything.
Yeah.
You lost at least 4 ounces right there. That's good.
I lost most of the weight running here because I realized what time it was, and yep. We have new store hours for the holidays.
That's right.
And it's completely throwing my life off.
So, good evening. This is Nigel and
Hi,
James.
Nigel.
How are you?
I'm good.
Do you want to do the honors? What is it? November 2nd?
It is November 2nd.
November 2nd.
6:05 p.m.
Something like that.
In the frigid air of Reading that
yep.
changed
Welcome
overnight.
To, right. Welcome to Reading. It went from summer to fall in, 12 hours?
Yeah. There's actually snow on the mountains around
there
us.
There you go. Well, it should be. I wouldn't be surprised if we get at least one more heat wave in before Christmas, though. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking, too. I was like, this is all going to be for nothing. Tomorrow it's going to be 96. And
typical Reading. So, let's see. We have with us a returning guest, Mr. Britt Ahart.
Yeah, we kind of worked this around mealtime.
Mealtime.
Yeah. Mr. Britt is back and doing wonderful things with our local kids once again. And I said, hey, you know, what do you do after night? And he's like, I just hang out in the hotel room. And I said, well, do you like to eat? And he said, absolutely. And I said, hey,
yep,
Nigel, we need to feed this man. And he were like, why don't we just bring him back on
so
the
you
show?
Know
and
so I have this preconceived notion of Britt obviously being on the show alone. If you, for those who are listening and haven't heard about Britt, he was on the History Channel's Alone, 2 seasons, Patagonia and Mongolia.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I think of you and I think your downtime, I envision you like hiking through Lassen looking for a wolf or something.
I do a lot of hiking, but I also appreciate my downtime and just relaxing when I can. So, thanks for having me back on, guys.
Yeah.
Great to be back again.
So he's just a regular dude, too, just, you know. Has a house with doors and
yep,
chairs and
children
tables.
And
right, I do.
Yeah. So you're obviously part of Valor Talent, Kevin Cry's talent agency.
Yep.
And he found you because of your survival skills, I would say, right?
Yeah.
And so now you've been coming out on a semi-regular basis, and you're working with the Cascade Elementary School District,
mm-hmm.
and we're doing the Cascade Adventure Camps, and you've been teaching kids so
survival skills. Yeah.
So first-hand knowledge, by the way, went up to Lassen and
oh, that's right, you
and
got to go up there.
Mm-hmm. And Britt didn't light a fire in 5 seconds. He didn't, but he explained it really well.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say. Why, because he couldn't or because it's against the law?
Against the regulations. I wasn't going to light any fires out there. So just strictly a verbal tutorial.
Well, I think you're a smart traveler because in this part of the world, if you light a fire, you pretty much...
You're dead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you pretty much then end up causing what? Just massive destruction around
yeah.
here.
Like, I've seen enough fires. I'm not going to start it in my own out here. I'm not trying
yeah.
to burn
so,
down the
place. You've been taking a lot of kids out.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going?
It's going really well. I'm enjoying taking the kids and doing some exploration of the parks around here. And I've just been generally teaching some basic survival skills. And, you know, it's kind of loosely organized by me. But when I get out there, I see something, I point something out. And the kids are really absorbent and they really want to learn what I'm showing them. So it's really a lot of fun to see how they kind of latch on to what I'm trying to teach them. Just a little bit about basic survival, outdoor navigation, things to do when you're in certain situations, and a little bit about surviving on your own. Kind of like just on a basic level because they're introductory,
mm-hmm.
you know, students to it.
So when you, I mean, do you do this for other school districts throughout the country, or is this?
No, okay. I haven't. I've only been out here doing it with the Cascade School District so far. So I've had like small groups of kids, but not anything associated with schools.
I'm just curious how you prepare yourself, you know, to do that. So is it mostly survival skills and like, you know, fire making, that kind of thing? It's not even more about you having to research plants and things that they can eat off the ground, or is that, does that include that too?
Well, it does include it on a small scale, so I'll point out a couple of things that I know that they can consume, but I don't go too in depth into that. Sure. It's more about the basics, about fire safety, fire creation, you know, the materials you need to gather, quick shelters, the area you want to make the shelters, finding water, purifying water, and things of that nature.
Yeah, very cool.
See, we kind of take it for granted, but throughout our entire region, obviously Northern California, California Adventure District, right? A lot of people go hiking, obviously, and we have some pretty interesting wilderness areas that are, you know, I would call them the real deal, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not quite sure exactly how many people go missing per year, but I know there's quite a few that actually just wander off and they are not, you know, heard or seen.
Right.
Again, so teaching kids just the basic survival skills, I would say, in this area is quite important.
Yeah, and a lot of parts of it will just be like knowing where you're traveling. Your orientation, being able to navigate back to the point you came from, like not getting lost is one of the
That's
things I try
really
and teach
scary.
The kids. So, like, just to recognize where you are, a lot of times I'll say when you walk, like, for a certain amount of time, turn around and look at the trail behind you so you can recognize it if you're lost and coming back the same way. You know, finding landmarks. So, yeah, definitely getting lost is one of the things I try and teach kids how to avoid.
It's been a while, but I actually got lost in Hong Kong. I think I told you that.
Yeah,
I got lost in Hong Kong. That was
the concrete jungle.
That was very humbling. I was in Hong Kong in the middle, and I, for about an hour or so, I had no clue where I was, and it was
a scary thing to get lost.
It was a freaky situation.
It's a scary thing to get lost. All of your training can go out the door if you're panicking because you don't know where you are.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I saw you in the classroom too yesterday with a bunch of the kids, and I was surprised too at some of the questions. You would think they were actually really intelligent questions.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I was like, they're actually genuinely interested in
that. That's one of the things I love about when I go talk with kids, because I'm really big into the Q&A. I don't just want to go up there and just talk nonstop. So some of the questions I get asked are really interesting. Like I had one girl ask a question about, and she must have been like a third grader. She says, what were the effects of not having enough food, enough water on your body? And that's one of the questions I'd never had anybody ask me. So I really enjoyed explaining, you know, the different phases of being malnutritioned.
Mm-hmm.
And how it affected me from being dehydrated, and how I was experiencing vertigo, and my thought process was cloudy. So, you know, once in a while I'll get these really interesting questions, and they're very skilled for that age, very knowledgeable for that age. So I'm always impressed.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start sorting them out. Like, right? Like, she's bright, so we're going to take her and put her over there.
There are definitely some kids who are like the standouts. How do you know that? Like,
I know.
One kid had talked to me how he had actually made a boat. He'd made a hand drill fire before it, and he must have been a fourth grader. So a lot of kids have a lot of outdoor experience, even at, you know, the young ages of like 8 and 9 years old.
And that's really a lot about the parents.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Like what they're into, things like that. It's amazing what parents will impart on their children.
Right. And that's what I'm actually trying to get the kids to get interested in. Because even if they don't know anything, maybe when I show up, I can show them a couple of slides and talk about my experience and maybe do a little demonstration for them. And that might spark some sort of interest to where they want to pursue that further.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that I like about doing it.
Spark.
Yeah, spark.
Well, it's, you know, we all have those experiences in life, right, where hopefully you do. I have actually a couple, so I've been fortunate enough where there's been a teacher in your life that, you know, you hear that story. It seems a little cliche, but somebody that's come into your life and taught you something, and it really has a profound impact on you as a human being your whole life. I mean, I have two teachers that I know specifically really, really impacted me as a person, you know, and made me feel that I was worth it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though I had some times in school where I struggled, they, you know, they were kind enough to engage and build a confidence in there that nobody else had ever done for me.
Right. So shout out to my sixth grade teacher, Miss Bosley.
Really?
Yeah.
She's the one who kicked you out of school and said, walk home, and that's how you got it.
She was the one that was just, I don't know, she instilled something in me that I never forget her, and we still exchange Christmas cards and letters.
Aww.
From sixth grade?
Sixth grade?
Sixth grade, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Miss Bosley.
Miss Bosley.
Well, let's take our first break, and then people just diving in or listening to the for the first time, Britt. I mean, he's not just a guy. Let's get into what he's done in the past, because
that's cool.
They probably think, who's this guy just, you know, teaching survival skills. So let's take our first break, and we'll come right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Interesting combination going from BG to Van Halen.
Back to the hard stuff.
So were you telling Liam your BG story behind the music?
No.
No? Okay, cool.
No. I was just saying how much I liked them, and he was saying how much he liked them. And I was just trying to provide him with some trivia about the Bee Gees.
He blew my mind.
Yep. That's good. My dad tried to get me into the Bee Gees, and then I saw the back of Kiss Alive 2, and that was it. It was done. All over.
That was the very first concert I ever went to, was Kiss.
Yep, and that was it.
Loved it.
So we have with us Mr. Britt Ahart.
Yep. So can I ask before we go?
Yep.
Britt, name. Who named you? Mom, dad, both of them? Where does that... Because it's super cool.
Thanks.
And Ahart is an interesting last name. I mean, your name is really cool.
Thank you. It's actually, my full name is Thomas Britton Ahart.
Oh.
And I'm named after my grandfather, who was Ellis Britton. But my dad was also Thomas, so they started calling me Britt.
Okay.
By my middle name. So my full name is Thomas Britton Ahart.
So Britton, because there's an ancestry there going back to UK or what?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. Where it came from, but I know the spelling
is Ahart.
Yeah, Ahart.
Okay, but most people say Ahart.
It goes back and forth.
Yeah,
yeah. Some people don't pronounce any of my name right. So, yeah, but you know, I'm not exactly sure. I know at one point the spelling changed. It used to be I-N, and then it changed to O-N somewhere along the line. So, I'm go by Britt.
Yeah,
ever. So Britt,
I love it.
So Britt is visiting us from Georgia, right?
Yep.
So now Britt Ahart,
Ahart, that's right.
Britt Ahart. I've noticed that even the kids have seen your show. So yeah. Britt was on two seasons of the survival show Alone, mm-hmm. right?
On the History Channel.
On the History
Channel. On the History Channel. And you went to Patagonia.
Right.
And you survived there for how long?
35 days.
It's crazy. And then you skipped a season, and then the following season you went to Mongolia.
Mongolia.
And you survived there for how long?
I was out there for 56 days.
56 days.
Yeah.
And yesterday you went out to Lassen and you had a hard time.
Well, it was the altitude. It was the altitude. I'm blaming it all on that. But I didn't say I had a hard time. I just wasn't ready for it.
You had a hard time.
I had a hard time. Absolutely, yeah. So, yeah.
So well, what were you feeling? Just like no energy or are you
I was
dizzy?
Feeling shortness of breath and just a touch of vertigo when I get up on heights like that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it wasn't my conditioning. It was just that I couldn't breathe very mm-hmm. well. But I made it to the summit.
And then so I felt great. Okay. Well, that makes more sense because I was thinking like Lassen Park, like just in the park. I'm like, well, it's not that bad, right?
Oh, no.
You went to the summit.
Okay, yeah, I went to the top of the volcano.
Well, there you go.
Right.
So. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
What okay, is that, so almost 10,000 feet or 10,000 feet or close to it?
I'm not exactly sure, but it was pretty high.
Yeah.
Well over 9,000 at least, I think.
So 35 days in Patagonia.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point, so they drop you off, and then is there a quick moment, like within the first couple hours, you're like, what the heck am I doing here? And like, why did I do this?
There's a quick moment as soon as you get off of the boat and then you hear the engine fading. And then you realize that you're absolutely alone. It gets incredibly quiet. And then I'm trying to calm my brain and figure out, you know, the next order of operations. But there was never really a time where I thought, like, why am I doing this? I was just thinking, this is such a crazy experience. I'm so excited. Let me calm myself before I just, you know, do totally the wrong thing.
Fall off a rock and cut yourself. And
yeah, just, I had to pace myself because my heart was racing, so I had to calm down.
So, you know, they say that one of the harshest forms of punishment is isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so do you consciously have to, after a couple of days, do you consciously have to start having a conversation with yourself? Or do you find yourself...
And is it in your head or are you an outward talker?
I'm always an outward talker. My wife would be like, what'd you say? Oh, I'm just talking to myself. I always talk to myself. I like to, you know... When my thought process is to speak things out loud, and that's how I just go about my every single day.
Yeah.
So that was no issue with me when I was there. I'm nonstop talking, whether it's in front of a camera or just because I want to verbalize my thoughts. So I was always doing that.
But the thing is, you had the cameras with you, right?
Yeah, you had the cameras with me.
And so was it really one of those things where for 35 days you did not see any other people?
You don't see anybody except when they do data drops and med checks.
Say a wellness check.
Well, yeah, it's pretty much a wellness check once a week about. They would show up just to give you fresh batteries and take your memory cards and to check to make sure that you're physically and mentally in a good place. So they would make us do, you know, some rudimentary math equations to see if our thought process is okay. And then we'd also have to get on a scale.
I'd already failed just at that, even if I was just dropped off. Well, nope.
Yeah, we'd fail as soon as the boat left. Time's up.
And then they would make us get down to our base layer of clothing and stand on a scale to measure our weight loss and see if we're still healthy enough for them to leave us again. So
they wouldn't have to do that with me. You know that. They'd show up and I'd like already said, be naked. I would have taken those off a long time.
We both have 90 days of fuel.
Okay,
so they did that once a week.
Yeah.
So is it one of those things then that you get you look forward to?
Oh gosh, I would.
That weekly, hey, they're coming to check on me and you get some human interaction?
Initially, yes. But you're also, at least I was, in a frame of mind where I wanted to maintain the alone portion of the show so I could keep my train of thought going in that direction. Because sometimes when they would show up, it would disrupt me and it would...
I could see
it would kind of like... It's like when somebody comes to visit, you're really excited to see, and then when they leave, you're like, ah. Oh.
Yeah,
it would be like that. As soon as they show up, you get a little bit of boost.
Uh-huh.
You get to like converse with somebody who's actually another human and talks back to you. Yeah. Although they kept it very, very sterile. It was not like full conversation.
But then when they leave you, it's a
downer.
It's a letdown. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because you know, okay, well that's the last person as I'm waving to them leave. That's the last person I might see for a week or so.
Yeah.
The worst thing was when they're like, hey, they would text you and be like, hey, Britt, we're not coming today. We'll be there in another few days. And you're like, I don't get to see anybody else for 10 days at a time. So the isolation plays a tremendous role in your frame of mind. That's the hard part to handle for a lot of people.
But if you're an, I'm wondering then, if you're an outward processor, is that easier or harder? Because at least you can like talk to the trees and talk to the animals and.
I think that's definitely part of my
strength.
Just part of my personality that I've always been somebody who I'm okay by myself as long and I keep hearing myself talking and I don't know, my own voice keeps me company somehow because even though I'm not talking to anybody, I feel like I'm talking to somebody. That probably sounds really crazy. But also having a camera film me felt like I was talking to somebody as well.
I got to be honest with you, just thinking about the process of having to manage the camera situation, that to me would not give me comfort. I think it would be very annoying to have to be responsible for filming myself. Like, I wouldn't want to do that.
Right.
I would just want to be alone and left alone.
You are obviously not Gen Z, because the Gen Z would have no problem.
Oh, God, it would make me crazy to hold that camera and talk to it and do stuff. I'd be like, I'd be a madman.
Well, yeah, so you, at times you just kind of forget that it's there. It's just it's a presence that's always around you, and you just press record, and then you go about your regular day.
Okay, well, in that case, I could do that. But I thought you would have to at some point you're constantly thinking about having to, like, make good footage for the show.
Well, yeah, you are. That's actually kind of a little bit stressful about it because you also want to be creative.
Yeah.
You want to be able to show your story.
You want to be liked on the show, like, right? Like, the viewers go, oh, I like Britt. He's cool.
Yeah, you want to put something out that you think would be interesting. I mean, ultimately, you're just being yourself, and if people find it interesting, they find it interesting.
Yeah.
But
I'd walk by and be grumpy and flip it off and be like,
there's a lot of grumpiness. I mean, they spent a lot of time hitting the beep button for a bunch of people.
Oh, I bet.
So, but using the camera was also like, you know, you could be creative, and it was also, it helped you focus on, other things at times. So
and I can understand it. It's just, as soon as you're talking about it, my whole insides are like, like taking care of this camera.
Well, I just want to say one more thing. It's a lot different than somebody focusing a camera on you as opposed to the camera just sitting there and you're just talking.
Mm.
So it felt different for me that way.
Mm-hmm.
So are you surprised how many people to this day still say, oh, yeah, I saw you on that show?
I'm very surprised.
That's why we're taking him out to dinner. I'm hoping somebody recognizes him, and it looks good for us that we're with a star.
It's funny, like, the stewardess on the way here recognized me, or just, like, random people.
So cool.
So it always surprises me that people, I mean, I know a lot of people watch the show, but I didn't really realize how much traction it really got and how far the series has spread across the globe.
Mm.
So for people to recognize me, aside from the fact, especially the fact that I have no more massive beard and I gain like 45 pounds back. I almost look like a different person. So the fact that they can see me and know who I am is, I don't know, they must have been really staring at me on the screen.
And you're not wearing a Britt Ahart t-shirt.
I'm not wearing a Britt Ahart t-shirt, but sometimes they see a big knife on my side and they're like, that's the guy, look at that knife, that must be him. Who knows? But yeah, it's cool to be recognized and just have a quick conversation with people about the show and know that people really enjoyed it.
Are you finding that because you were on the show and people recognize you, especially with the kids, it adds validity to you teaching them as opposed to just another guy coming in who's a survival guy?
Well, sure, because, I mean, it's like my resume. I don't have to go in there and just say, hey, I know all this stuff. Let me talk to you guys all about it. I go in places now, and the kids have recognized me from the show and told me about watching me on the show. So then when I start talking about it, it kind of adds that extra, oh, he must really know what he's talking about. Not that I proclaim to be any sort of expert, but because they've seen what I've done in the past, it definitely brings something to the atmosphere when I go and talk to the kids. I love when the kids have watched.
Street cred.
I guess that's what it is, right?
There's some respect, I mean, right?
Forest cred.
Forest cred. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, now we need to work on getting you Lassen cred.
There you go.
We need to do that in like an hour.
So if you had fun doing Lassen, then the thing is you have to come back next year during the summer and do Mount Shasta.
That's what we were just talking about.
You need air.
That's where you need air, I know. See, I'm more about the distance than the slopes.
Yeah.
So I'll go really, really far, but when it comes to going up, maybe, because I don't know, I start teetering on those cliffs.
Yeah.
And so Mongolia was how long?
56 days.
20 days longer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a serious difference.
It was, and I felt it, and my body showed it because I lost that many more pounds.
Well, one of the things, if you haven't watched the show, that blew my mind was that you just are supposed to last to the very last moment of your capability, right? Because Because you don't know, the idea is who's the one at the end that's out the longest, right?
And you don't
but,
know, right?
But you don't know anybody is tapped out yet. So you're just day by day going, should I tap out? Do I need, can I hold on one more day? Do I think I've won? Like, you know, that kind of, that's psychological torture in itself.
Right. I'm hearing like distant machinery hoping that they're taking somebody out. I'm like, I see a drone and I'm like, are they watching me because they're about to come tell me I'm the last one here? So
it's kind of like the Hunger Games.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, definitely I was hungry.
It is reminiscent of the Hunger Games.
It is. Like, I mean, you know, other than it's artificial, you're in a real...
And you get to pick what you take with you, right?
Yeah, you get to pick 10 survival items. So there's a long list of items you can select, and you can take 10 things with you to last as long as you can.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Did one of the items include the full catalog of the Bee Gees on the MP3? No?
Mine would have been access to a grocery store. That would have been one of my ideas.
No, I did spend a lot of time singing. I wished I had some music out there to listen to.
Yeah.
Just singing and telling stories to myself.
So before we take our break, because we're right at it, if you were able to take music, what would you have taken? What would have been your... So give us a little idea of what Britt would like to, you know, boogie to in the forest.
I probably would have taken the Legend album, Bob Marley's Legend album.
Ah, yeah.
I could listen to that on repeat. So that would have been something that would have...
Giving
me a little boost and fulfilled me and relaxed me.
Sure.
And, yeah, something to
that
fall deep into.
That would be actually perfect to listen to while you were out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And stare up at those Mongolian stars.
Yeah.
There you go. Right. Cool. Thank you. This is
Halfway Point.
Halfway, and we'll be right back.
Thank you. Yep.
Estate Minute brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher priced homes sell differently than medium priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
So would this be it?
That's the song I needed. I might still be out there if this was playing.
Right? Put this on the continuous loop.
I don't know a single soul that couldn't hear this song and just be lifted up in some way.
It's universal.
That's cool.
Great.
So, Nigel and James, welcome to Northern California. It's whatever day it is, November 2nd. And we have Mr. Britt A. Hart with us. I know you don't like the term professional survivalist because that's not what you are.
No.
But you're kind of a TV personality. Is that okay?
I guess, sure.
Because he was on the History Channels Alone. two seasons.
Sorry, if you've been on TV and somebody recognized you on an airplane, then yeah, you can't run away from that.
Yeah, and so you 35 days in Patagonia, 56 days in Mongolia, and now you're here in Anderson teaching Cascade Elementary School kids how to survive.
How the world turns.
How the world turns, right? Just in case one of them, who knows, right? One of them may be inspired by you because they're at that age.
I hope so.
They're at that age where they're discovering stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? There may be one other kid in there, one other guy or girl right now going, oh, I want to do that. And next thing you know, they're going to be on TV and...
That'd be
well,
great.
Even that, you know, just you never know that something that you've inspired them and they get in a situation and later they'll say, hey, you know what? I learned this when I was at camp and it saved their life.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Just remember a little bit of what I told you. I talked the whole time. If you can just remember just a little bit of what I told you, it might help you out.
Yeah.
You know, you're going through the forest and you see a bear and it sees you and you go, okay, what did Brit say? Do we run to it?
You take out your Snickers bar and hand it over.
Right? What do you teach kids when they see animals? Because here that's a real thing, right? So we have bear.
We
have wolves.
Yeah, I always teach animal avoidance. Like, if you see any animals, don't approach them. A lot of kids, you know, they see something, they think it's cute, they want to approach, they want to feed. Never feed the animals. Always back away from the animals. Keep your eyes on them. Don't run.
Run, yeah.
Don't run. That's what a lot of kids...
That's their instinct to go, time to eat.
Right. You should have heard the funny things kids were coming up with about how they would avoid bears, because I spoke a lot about the bears since, you know, they're around here and...
We had climb a tree.
Training, right. Well, like, it's not quite that simple.
Dip right up a tree just after you.
Right. So just a couple of safety things, but mostly just be cautious and be aware. And if you run into animals, then just slowly leave them in their own space and back out of the area.
Mm. So... because we have a rule, you know, within California Adventure District, if you're with a bunch of people and you're out hiking, right, and if one gets attacked by a bear, the rule is to go and help and make sure nothing happens. But if somebody gets attacked by Bigfoot, your job is to actually film it.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we get some clear footage?
You got to get that on.
You got to make sure that your camera's super dirty so it comes out very grainy.
Yeah. Sorry, Tony, you're taking one, taking one for the team here.
I'm going to make millions.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because that last time one of the kids was asking me a time about Bigfoot. And the last Bigfoot, quote-unquote, sighting or experience that was recorded on BFRO.net was in Lassen. Mm. And Lassen County, it was August 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think it's absolutely fantastic that they have a website for tracking.
I
got to
check it out.
Yeah,
I got to check it out.
Hundreds.
Really?
Hundreds. And it's the gift that keeps on giving, and it freaked them out, and they're never going back. So.
Mm. Well, if I had any sort of encounter, I'd have to go back. I'd have to see something.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, so that's the interesting thing about Bigfoot, right? So... Because out here, when you start digging, you'll come across people who actually are legitimately
terrified
and legitimately terrified, like
adults that have soiled their pants.
Because I think we would agree, it takes a lot for a grown man to admit that they soiled their pants.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten to the point where, you know, I talked to a lot of people about Bigfoot, and you can always tell those who are serious and those who are not serious. And those who are serious will tell you, and there's lots around Northern California that there's stuff in the forest, and those who are serious will tell you that whenever they say they've come across a Bigfoot or some kind of creature like that, and they make eye contact, that they immediately lose all bodily functions.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They actually
the ability to evacuate your bowels by staring at you.
Like, well, I guess what they have said in our experience in interviews and reading and things like that is that it's like almost, without saying overly dramatic, because this the situation in itself is dramatic, right? Mm. Is it's almost like a version of mind control in a sense. Like they've said that they feel like they're even being communicated to in some way, and that they've lost the ability to turn and run, or like it's just so intense, right? Like you look into the eyes, and it's almost like hypnotism in a way.
It's a pretty good story of a hunter, and I think it was down south somewhere. It's a pretty cool video of a hunter, and he was talking about his encounter, and he was out there with his rifles, right? And he came across two of them and looked at them, and people asked him, well, how come you didn't shoot them? And he said, you don't understand. Like, the moment you see them and they see you, you can't move. Like, mm-hmm. you can't move.
That's why they haven't been caught or whatever. It's just because.
So anyway, that's just some professional Bigfoot advice for
right.
you.
Right. I'm going to check out that website.
Next time you come out. Right?
Yeah. Make sure I wear an adult diaper if I'm going out for Bigfoot.
Exactly right. And make sure you film it. So when you were in Mongolia, did you come across a lot of wildlife, animals, or Patagonia? How did one stack up versus the other?
I'm trying to remember. I obviously know where Mongolia is, and I know the word Patagonia, but
South America.
Patagonia. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the very bottom. Thank you. South America.
Yes, I knew that. It just was not coming to my head.
My face-to-face interaction, I didn't have a lot of face-to-face, but I heard a lot, and I saw a lot of the activity around my shelter. So I would hear, you know, the wolves at night calling around me. Mm. I would hear the pigs outside rooting up around my shelter, the boar. I found moose tracks and bear tracks and wolverine tracks after the snow fell. So though I never saw them, it was evident
they were
that
there.
They were right around my shelter every single night.
So you didn't
night.
See them, but they saw you.
They always saw me. The animals always see you.
Yeah. See, that's what they say about the bears and the other stuff here.
Right.
That
yeah, they say people
you,
go
when
out.
When you see them, they've already...
They've been watching you, yeah.
Well, and that's what they say. When you go out in the forest, people get disappointed because they didn't see a bear or mountain lion or that. And they're like pretty much almost, you know, probably 90% of the time, you just didn't see them. They were there somewhere. And they were looking at you.
Right.
Has anything... So back to the kids. So here you are sewing into the kids, which I think is one of the most honorable things you can do as an adult, is find groups of kids and just sew into them, right? So is anything surprising you about teaching these kids survival skills or taking them out?
I don't know so much what's surprising me, but I've been very, very excited about their level of excitement and how quick and eager they are to learn some stuff. And that's kind of been the case across the board. Like, I'll have a couple of kids who are kind of like floaters and they're in and out, but the kids who are interested, they're so in tune with what I'm showing them that that's what's been really exciting. And I mean, maybe surprising because I've just started doing this. So I wasn't exactly sure how the kids were going to receive it. But when they, you know, they sign up for the course and I start talking about a couple of things and I see like their level of engagement, that's been surprising to me because it's across the board. Like everywhere I go, there are kids that are really excited to do this. So I don't know if surprising is the word, but I'm very, very excited that that's been the response that I've received.
You have children?
I do.
How old are they?
Three.
25, 21, and 12.
12. So does a 12-year-old take for granted that, dad's on TV?
So he rolls his eyes when I pretend, like mockingly, that I am your dad, son, and such and such. So I'll do that stuff joking with him, but then he goes to school and he talks about that I do to his friends, so he thinks it's cool.
For sure.
He's definitely...
To your face, you're like,
Yeah, he rolls his eyes, but he's pretty
proud of
some of the stuff.
Big daddy on TV, if that's cool.
Does he bring his friends home from school and say, hey, dad, throw that knife again?
Well, no, but like if I go to school with him for something, like his friends will be like, that's the guy, there's Campbell's dad. Mm-hmm. And they'll watch me go by and they'll come up to him and be like, hi, I'm Mr. Air, I saw you on the show, such and such. So that's kind of neat. He doesn't really parade me in front of them, but when I'm around them, they'll make it known that they've seen me on TV or something.
That's so cute.
It's fun.
I heard you talk about it a little bit yesterday, but so was there a TV show follow-up, or is there something coming?
Yeah, there was a follow-up to the TV show Alone. It was called Alone the Skills Challenge, and it took past participants who were on the series, and we were basically competing in like a bushcraft build-off, because a lot of the talk about watching Alone, people saw when they watched the show, they wanted to see more of the crafting skills that they kind of just go really quickly passed on the show. Mm-hmm. So we were doing like friendly competitions from our home, and we were challenging each other to build certain things. So I had the opportunity to build like a bridge, and I built a little raft, and I built some traps, and I built a chair, and I built a fish smoker. So I was doing some of that stuff from my home, and that just finished airing. It was 12 episodes aired on the
was that during the pandemic?
No, this just recently was airing.
Okay.
It aired like August to October.
Okay. I thought maybe that's why you guys were filming. But what good way of setting it up is having you just do it at home because, you know, you guys couldn't get together.
Well, it's because they're running it in tandem to filming the Alone series, the next season of Alone. So they, instead of having us fly all over the place, but it was also able to show us using different materials in the locations that we lived.
So they're still in production of the show.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's cool.
Did you find that competitive nature coming back out even on the skills?
To a degree. It's a lot different when I'm like toiling and working in the sun and I'm looking right there at the house with the air conditioning. I know that I can cut it if I need to and go in there. So the drive was still there to do my best and to build what I could. But in the end of the day, I know like I get to go kick my feet up on the couch and actually take a shower. So the competitiveness, yes, but
there was no fear of death.
No. And the desperation of like, I've got to get this done or else I'm not going to be able to eat tonight. Uh-huh. So it's kind of hard to bring that back into the mix because I'm not actually in that situation, but the crafting was a lot of fun.
What would it take for them to get you back onto another season of Alone?
They would have to come to my house and talk to my wife. They would have to really make her believe that it was the best thing to happen. But seriously, if they were to ask me again, if it was just my decision, I think it would be a lot of fun. I mean, who doesn't want to travel all across the globe and go camping? But the show takes a tremendous toll on you physically.
I wonder if you could do one where it's, you know, I don't know, parent or whatever, where you actually got to bring it. Your child.
That would be awesome.
Right?
I would love to do that.
So not only is it a survival, but as a parent, imagine the twist in your head about keeping your child.
Safe, I know.
But imparting that and saying, hey, you know, dun, dun, dun.
It would be great to be
rule number one, no cannibalism on the show. No.
Yeah, right.
But I'll tell you what, I don't know how long I would last because the second I see that my boy is hungry, we're leaving.
Yeah.
So that would take a whole lot out of the whole episode. It'd be like one episode.
Have they done an Alone in Alaska yet?
Yeah, they did. Right. I don't know which season it was, but there was definitely one in Alaska. It might have been the one that was the 100-day challenge, I think. Pretty sure. I'm not exactly sure.
So have you thought, so this is something new for you that you're doing here with the Cascade School District, right? And you're liking it, it sounds like.
I love it, yeah.
Yeah. And kids are always great. It would be cool if you would, I think anyway, that if you were to put together like a website or whatever where organizations could ask you or hire you to come out.
And it's happening.
Oh, is it?
In fact, this whole concept.
Like a week-long thing out where you're teaching adults, because I'd like to learn stuff, right? So you would have plenty of time to obviously research where you were going to be, what you were going to do, and what they wanted to see. But, you know, people, I would think, would pay good money to just be able to be outdoors with other adults doing cool stuff, but actually get some type of basic education.
That would be a lot of fun.
Fire skills.
Well, we've been talking about the whole California off the grid thing. Where we take five people and drop them off in the.
Now that I get, that's a whole challenge thing. But I'm just talking about for you on a day to day workload when you're not being a superstar, right? For TV or things like that. But just like for your job, right? I mean, you have the skills, so how do you implement them to get them to pay you, right?
Those exactly.
Skills. Yeah. Because I would do that. I would totally pay for you to
take
people out.
Britt Ahart, you could probably just, you know, get a chisel and make money. All right. Last break. We'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Okay, good job. Welcome back.
Just keep it down low.
Let's keep it down low.
Yeah. Have it in the background.
welcome to Nigel and James. November 2nd, we have Mr. Britt Ahart with us. See, I got it right.
Thank you. Ahart, I like that.
So if you've been listening, you know he's a contestant. He survived the History Channel's Alone 2 seasons. And so we're talking about that you're teaching the kids at Cascade Elementary School. But next week, starting next week, it's going to be in Siskiyou.
Yeah.
Which school is that?
Oh, jeez.
See, and I asked the question at the break. I'm like, you should really do this. And then you both turned to me and said,
well, so
but we are.
It's expanding. It's expanding. It's good. So we're going to be at Siskiyou. Is it the same concept?
It'll be the same concept, but I'll be able to do a little bit more hands-on. This past week, I've just been doing more, more like tutorial and talking about my experience with just a little hint of actually doing some skills. But with what I'm going to be doing forward, hopefully I'll get a chance to take the kids outside. I'm planning on showing them some basic trapping skills, and everybody always loves the fire making stuff, so I'll be doing that. But yeah, a lot of the same, teaching the kids just the basics, some of the early basics.
So maybe the kids can take you up to Mount Shasta.
Maybe they can.
Yes, you can. And this morning you said you spoke to an assembly?
Yeah, I was at a Juniper School, and I spoke to all of the kids. It was like kindergarten through eighth grade, and talked about my experience. Again, they had some great feedback, so I had a lot of questions that were asked. And I always bring my pack along with them, because as I'm talking to them about the stuff I carry, then I show them the things that I bring. Everybody wants to come around, and I give little demos and show the things that I brought, and just had a good commentary and back and forth with them.
I think it's a unique version of show and tell, right? Because it's like something completely different that they're not used to.
Right. And so just when I take my ferro rod and I strike it and they see the sparks, it's just so amazing to see everybody's reaction.
The kids go, ah!
And they all back up like I just, did something fantastic. But
fire.
It's cool to talk about the things that I did, and some of the kids have seen it. And then I actually have the things that I took with me on the show so I can show them how I was using them, when I was out there.
So we kind of touched on this in the break, but it is kind of odd that we actually have this thing flipped, right? Because how, like you would rather be out in the wilderness walking around instead of being in Detroit, right?
Yeah.
Or L.A. or some of the big cities, which is kind of crazy. That's why, Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle. Like, mm-hmm. it's a real deal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never been a big city person. I prefer isolation when I can grab it.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people. Well, nowadays, I mean, these inner cities, they're not exactly pleasant anymore, right?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there are parts. I mean, if you have lots of money and you live in your little bubble, that's one thing. But the traditional way of looking at cities anymore is not the same, in my opinion, as it used to be.
Yep. Do you get a lot? Do you get city people contacting you saying they want to go out?
Actually, yeah, I still get a lot of contact on social media.
When I say go out, I mean like
no, I'm not like date, but like go to the wilderness. Yeah, that's how I took it. Funny, I do get a lot of people contacting me and say, hey, if you're ever in my area, we'd love to have you over for this, or if you're coming through this town, my family would love if you could join us because we're going on this hiking trip or such and such. So yeah, I do get solicited like that, mm-hmm. time to time.
Yeah, and I could see why. Like, that's what I was saying at the break. It's like, hey, I'd love for you to have a website and reach out and say, we've got a group of, you know, five people that want to go out for 4 or 5 days and just learn some basics. I mean,
even while I've been here during this past few days, mm-hmm. I've had people contact me, oh, so you're near Lassen. We're going to be here. If you come by, please come over.
Yeah,
you and me, Lassen, we're in Klamath. Is that close?
Right.
You know? But I think there are plans for that next year to actually expand this. And I think our region, Northern California, California Adventure District, I think it's the perfect, there are some perfect spots where you could actually drop people off in the middle of nowhere and say, you know, 5 go in, 4 come back out.
Right? I got to be one of those 4 then. I'm definitely getting out of there.
We have some, maybe not quite like Mongolia, but the Trinity Alps and some of the forest areas up here, they're pretty remote.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing works. Right?
Oh, yeah, I experienced that too. When I was out in Lassen.
Satellite phone.
Yeah, maybe a satellite phone.
Well, even that was kind of a day. And you, next time you're out, you actually want to go check out the Redwoods? You've never been to the Redwoods?
I've never been to the Redwoods.
Oh,
I would
dude.
Love to see them. That's on my list of places I have to see.
That's like Marley-esque.
Yeah, right.
You get the same like life force from it.
I can't wait to just. I just want to walk.
One of my favorite
those
places in the whole
trees.
World.
Really?
Uh huh. When you walk the ground because it's had so many years of, you know, the debris that comes down and it's built this like almost like a mattress on the ground. It's so quiet.
Oh, I can't imagine.
And there's it's I find it to be fascinating. And then you just look at it in awe, thinking, at one point that was the seed that was the size of, you know, smaller than a peanut,
mm-hmm.
right? And now it's this tree that's been around since before Christ walked on earth, right?
I can't wait.
And you're
gotta
like,
get there.
Wow. And the big thing that's a big trend in those things is, you know, big out of Japan and a lot of studies when we've done some shows on it, it's called forest bathing, right? Where it sounds like obviously you're going to take your clothes off, but you're not. You're just in it, you know, and finding a quiet place, laying down on the floor and just absorbing.
There,
yeah.
Right.
But
you absorb the fumes from, I know. It's
and the canopies are releasing, you know, all kinds of
chemicals.
That the Japanese have done now years of study on and have brought people, done like their blood work, cortisol levels, all these things, right?
Before they go.
Yeah, put them in the forest for, I don't know, a few days, a week or whatever it is, bring them back out, take their blood and like huge transformations in their blood counts.
Really?
and levels of bad hormones, all that stuff, yeah.
Just getting that super clean oxygen in there.
Well, oxygen, and then they're saying that...
Well,
the trees,
I guess it's specific trees, but... Our redwoods are perfect for this. The trees omit, they omit chemicals.
The smells that you smell, right? They are actually like.
I gotta go.
What's the word that we use with
aroma?
Aromatherapy? It's like.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
But it's not
it.
Necessarily the aroma, but they release chemicals out when they're in production that are great for humanity.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Restores your blood.
Yeah.
Work and you know, in this day and age,
it actually
helps your immune system and
that immune system boost, that kind of stuff. Yeah,
that sounds pretty fantastic.
And all the discoveries now too of like, you know, we think about how funny it is when you look at Avatar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how in that world, Pandora or wherever they were, how the roots of the plants and trees and all these things all are intertwined, right? Look it up, and we maybe talk about it on a future show, but here in Northern California, Southern Oregon is considered one of the largest ecosystems that is actually diverse in the sense that that is true. These trees,
sure.
Yeah, these trees and fungi and all these things are all literally connected to
like
one another.
Like a huge network underneath.
Bio network, yeah.
Awesome.
And it's like, it's just like the movie, right? And we're disrupting it all the time when we tear things up.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
Don't get me started on that.
So, thank you for what you do with the kids. You know, I think we've both known, I've known a lot of quote-unquote celebrities, and they maintain being a celebrity, and they don't care about their fellow man. So it's really good to see you actually sowing into people, right? Young people.
Thank you.
You know, I think we just kind of take that.
They also need all the help they can get.
Yeah.
These days.
I know you're going to be around more frequently in our area, so that's going to be good. And I think more school districts are going to be engaging with what you're doing.
I hope so.
So I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
We have one more minute.
If you're going to come out, you need to bring the family at some point.
That's what I was just talking to him about. I need to bring them out with me one of these times. Yeah. I hope to do it.
And stick them, you can come into town, but stick them on a houseboat out at the lake and just let them be out on a,
That'd be cool, too.
Because the houseboats here are like three stories, and they've got hot tubs and slides. And
oh, wow, really?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
I'll
look into it.
You have to reserve them 9 months out.
But you just come into town, do your work, and then they'll drive up and pick you up on the dock. And
that sounds pretty fantastic.
And you'd have a great time because you could jump into Lake Shasta, and we have the 12-foot sturgeon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, thank you. Those things are horrifying.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Northern California. Hope you enjoyed the show. Nigel James and Britt Ahart and a little bit of Bob Marley.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.